If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like to ask you to turn to the book of Acts. As I mentioned to you already, we try to pick one day per summer where we make baptism a big deal. We do some baptisms in the church throughout the year, but we try to make one big day a baptism Sunday, and today happens to be it. And so I want to talk about baptism for a few moments. And there's a lot of scripture in Acts. I've chosen one from Acts chapter 8 this morning to talk about Acts. I love the story in Acts 16. There's another story there. I shared at the nursing home just this week when I was doing a Bible study over there. It talks about this jailer coming to saving faith in Christ and how he and his entire family were baptized as soon as he had come to faith in Christ. I love that story. And there's several other baptism stories in the New Testament. Different places, different settings, different ages, but the same pattern. Once Jesus had died and rose again, his Spirit had been poured out. The pattern was the same when they were baptized. They came to saving faith in Christ, and then they were baptized. So there's a lot of different variables here with the different places, and I would suggest, even as you look closely, differing amounts of water. Some of them were baptized, I know, by immersion, and some of them were not. And so sometimes we get hung up on these things, but I believe as we really look at the patterns of baptism, in particularly in Acts, you see that they're baptized in different places, and as I said, different ages, but the same pattern. I have recognized Jesus. I have met the Savior. And when they did that, with that confession, if you will, with that act of redemption, they wanted to show the world, baptize me. And so, I want to read for you this little story from Acts chapter 8. I think you know the story. I think you know it well, but I wanted to go over it this morning for a few minutes. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26, the scripture goes like this. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go to the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. As I pondered this, I read this over and over and over this week. I wondered, why did that need to be thrown in there? And I still don't know the answer. I don't know why that needed to be thrown in. This is desert. However, I think it was thrown in there for us to think outside the proverbial box sometime. Most of the baptisms were happening in Jordan. Those were very visible with John the Baptist. This is not in the Jordan. This is not in the Sea of Galilee. It's not in the Dead Sea. It's not in the Mediterranean Sea. This is in the desert. And so I think he's just challenging us. Think outside the box here a little bit. So Luke throws in, he's on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, the same place they are now. You can look at the map. They were there then. They're there now. This is desert. So, Philip, it says, so he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. That has some significance. A eunuch, that has some significance. Of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. That also has significance. Was returning from Jerusalem to Gaza and on eventually into Africa and to Ethiopia from where he came. He had been to Jerusalem, the Bible says, to worship. He was sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. So you can see, you can get the flavor, you can see the vision. This chariot of this Ethiopian man, this man of great authority who had been to Jerusalem, was now on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, was out there in the desert someplace, was reading scripture from Isaiah. The Spirit ushers Philip along. Philip comes and said, do you know what you're reading? And he says, how can I, unless someone guides me? So Philip climbs up in his chariot. The place in the scripture which he read was this, and here's what it said. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Preached to him Jesus, some of your translations say. And so you see what's happening here, friends? This man was a worshiper of God. He'd just been to Jerusalem to do so. He knew all about God, but he didn't know Jesus. He didn't know this was Jesus that Isaiah was talking about at 600 BC. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And so Philip began to unravel the mysteries of Jesus. He began right here at this scripture. And I suppose they talked about more things that Isaiah said. And then Philip brought him up to a few hundred years later, which would have been 33 years ago. They may have talked about his birth. But then he began to talk about the last 3 years of his ministry, of his life, of healing, of the miracles, of Lazarus probably being raised from the dead, of Jesus going to the cross. He began to unfold to him all the story about Jesus. I suspect in the story, he said, and Jesus died on the cross so that we might live. Jesus died on the cross, Mr. Ethiopian man, for us. That we might live. Died on the cross for our sin. Because he is, as Isaiah had talked about too, the Savior. He is the Messiah. And so the Bible says, and he began to preach to him Jesus. Now, the Bible says, as they went down the road, they came to some water. I've read a great deal from a number of commentaries this week, and they vary, but most of them agree it wasn't much water. They were in the desert. But they came to some water nonetheless, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. I love the King James. It says, what doth hinder me from being baptized? The New King James says similarly, what hinders me from being baptized? Then there's a verse 37 that if you look in your Bibles, some of you have different translations here, some of you will not see verse 37 because some of the original manuscripts did not have verse 37. King James, the New King James does. We're going with verse 37 next. Some of your Bibles jump over 37, but we're going with 37 next. Then Philip said, Mr. Ethiopian eunuch man, if you believe with all your heart, you may. You see, the question was, what is now hindering me? What is holding me back any longer from being baptized? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so he, the Ethiopian, commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he, that's the Ethiopian man, went on his way to Gaza and eventually to Ethiopia, rejoicing. Why? Because he had met the Savior. Because he had been told, he had been to Jerusalem, he had been worshiping God, he had heard from Isaiah, he had heard about a Messiah, and now Philip had explained to him and opened up the scripture and explained to him Jesus. And the Bible says he went on his way rejoicing. And so I use this little illustration today, friends, because there is a sequence. I don't think the amount of water in that wadi or ravine, or stream, or whatever they were at is as important as why he was baptized, because he had met with Jesus. And so we could dialogue a lot more about verse 37 that's in some translations and isn't in some others. We could dialogue a lot more about how he was baptized. But I want us to focus on a couple things in the last couple minutes that we have. As a physical eunuch, in the old ways, the old Jewish ways that Moses had handed down, he was not eligible to even worship in the temple, according to Deuteronomy 23, verse 1. As a man other than a Jew from a long ways away from the nation of the Jew, perhaps a black man from Ethiopia, he was not of the Jewish system. He was not of the Jewish inheritance. He would have to be referred to by the Jews as an outsider, a Greek or something. And yet, in his own country down there, there were Jews that were there that talked about and worship God, and knew that in Jerusalem, the temple was there, and they could worship God. So this man knew enough about this that he wanted to be in Jerusalem at a festival, at a feast, at a time of worship, and so he was there. But he had never met Jesus until he got on his way home from Jerusalem to Gaza, when Philip came alongside. As the Spirit works, God moved in Philip and said, head on out down the road to Gaza. And Philip come across the Ethiopian man and heard him reading from Isaiah, and he wanted to know if he understood it. And you know the story. We've just read it. I would venture to say that this man, in his great authority, in the position that he had, knew enough about the Jewish tradition to know that in the Jewish custom of that day, if a Jew went out looking for a convert, a proselyte, if you will, to convert somebody from their sinful ways, their Greek ways or whatever, to Judaism, there was a process of events, and the last one to show that I have arrived is baptism. I think this guy knew that. And when he was told about Jesus, He was explained to from Isaiah up until the very current day about Jesus. I think what he was saying to Philip by his faith and understanding of what Jesus had, or what Philip had just told him about Jesus, I think what he's saying, I have arrived. So what does hinder me any longer from being baptized? Now let me say something real briefly before I close, friends. We celebrate baptism. Oh, it's a celebration, is it not? It's a good day. It's a good time. It's a good event. It's one of our sacraments. We celebrate baptism. But let me just be really brief and tell you a couple things. We celebrate it not necessarily to join a faith, but to exhibit what we have placed our faith in. We celebrate baptism not because the act of the water saves, but because I have exercised my faith in the resurrected Christ and He saves. And we celebrate baptism not because it's the popular thing to do, and well, there's a few other folks doing it today, so I'm going to jump on this bandwagon too, but to indicate that my faith is now in Jesus. I, like the eunuch, am saying, I have arrived. I have arrived. I have recognized Jesus. Jesus was sent for me. I've put my faith in Him. And I want to show you of this inward decision with this outward expression of baptism. Now, there will be some people today being baptized that have arrived a long time ago, but felt today, because maybe baptized earlier in life or whatever, wanted to be baptized in the river to show to the rest of us their decision about Jesus. And so let me just say this. Baptism, friends, is an outward expression of an inward decision. I have come to know Jesus. As a matter of fact, the Bible Concordance says it this way. To wash, to dip, or to immerse in water, baptism demonstrates death to myself and sin and emergence as a new creation to live in Christ's kingdom. Hallelujah. an outward expression of an inward decision.